Hi, I'm Dr. Safiya, a medical doctor who doubles as an email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and did work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Email Marketing Experiment. And today we're going to be having a very, very interesting conversation. I know you have heard so much about email marketing from different angles, but today we're going to be looking at AI and custom GPTs. And with me, I have Jackie. Jackie is here today. And I know we all say Jackie Money because, I mean, that's like what's on your Instagram and that's what's on your call booking link. But I think I do have a question. Jackie is an ethical AI and automation strategist. It's such a pleasure to have you on the podcast today, Jackie.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. And I must say, I found Jackie through a summit that I attended earlier this year. I've used ethical in the past. I've tried it. I've used it for one or two things. And I was like, oh, I like what ethical can do. But by the time I finished going through what it is that she showed us ethical could do, and then I now saw this particularly cool thing where she talked about a ticketing system and more. I was like, oh, I'm like, oh. It's like you just realized that there's so much more a tool can do more than what it is that you thought it could do. And that's just it. She does AI, ethical, and automation strategy. So before we go into the whole, you know, email custom GPTs using AI in your email marketing and, you know, all those cool stuff we're going to talk about today, let's get to know you. Tell us a bit about, you know, how you got into systems and automations.
It's quite a long story, but my husband and I were living in Cape Town and we decided to move to a small little town in the Eastern Cape. And we realized that we needed to, you know, make money. And so we decided to start a business, and business evolved over time. And I realized that I was really good at tech, really good at automation. I could understand it very quickly and easily. And so that's kind of how I got into it. And then I remember I had a client that I was working with, and she said to me, oh, there's this new tool I want to use. It's called Airtable. I went in there, I took one look at it, and I said to her, I'm not touching this. It's too complicated. I'm not going to look at it. It's scary.
Oh, wow.
And then she kept on nagging and nagging and nagging. And when I went back in, I kind of forced myself to go back in. And when I went back in, it was like, oh, exactly what happened with you. Oh, this is what it can do. And so I was like, then I was hooked, and I kind of started specializing and building out my knowledge base on Airtable. And then, of course, the automations and everything else fell naturally into that, because Airtable has natural automation built in. So it's been a big journey.
I find that interesting that, I mean, you were running away from it and now you're like the go-to person, you know, for Airtable.
It's quite interesting.
Now, I'm just curious, like, you've done so many things, AI, automation, you know, strategy, systems. From your own perspective, right, when we're saying AI, strategy, systems, there was a time when, you know, people were a bit, let's say, like, skeptical, especially when it comes to the AI part, right? How have you seen the terrain evolve in terms of like adoption for custom GPTs, AI tools, and all of that?
I feel like in our world of online business, there's great adoption within the space. In AI, a lot of people are using it and testing it and playing with it. But I still feel in the non-online world, like, you know, brick and mortar businesses and that kind of thing, smaller businesses, there's still a lot of fear. The big companies, the big corporations, they're obviously adopting AI, but I think the small mom and pop brick and mortar businesses are definitely very hesitant and scared of AI.
I'm just curious, like, why are they scared or what are they afraid of?
I think it's more kind of a fear of the unknown, you know? They hear all these horror stories about AI and AI is going to take over and AI is going to take jobs and AI is going to do this and that, instead of looking at what it can do for them. There's even some people, like I've seen in our online space, that are very against AI. I would say more of the spiritual and holistic people are scared of AI and scared of adopting. But funnily enough, I did a talk in a group earlier on this year, and they were a group of ladies who were learning about feng shui, which is very alternative and very holistic and natural. They were trying to learn how to adopt AI into their practices. So it is, you know, something that is going to take off. And what I always say to people is, this is not going to go away. It's not going to go away. It's not a fad. You need to start learning about AI now and accepting it as a fact of life, because otherwise you as a business are going to get left behind and the other businesses are going to take over.
Yeah, I think that almost every tool now is adopting AI in one form or the other. And then you just get used to it. So for example, you know how Google Workspace has Gemini?
Yes.
I showed recently what I do with it. So for example, especially for like when I have recorded classes, I just go in there and say, give me timestamps. Or I literally use it like an assistant. So instead of going through the whole video, I'm like, oh, I want to find where this is. I'm just like, oh, where's this? Where's that? And it has just become like a part of the everyday, you know, task to do kind of thing. You just need something. And those are just like the really basic stuff. But the fact that, you know, we just know that we can facilitate our work just by having this kind of assistant. And now that we are talking about assistants, not only have you adopted AI, but you even built like a whole team, which I'm going to come to because I really love the characters. Like,
thank you.
I was reading them. I'm like, okay. Don't worry, I'm going to tell you guys about her AI, I think AI agents. Yeah.
It's the AI mentor.
Okay, the AI mentor team. So there's an AI mentor team and we're going to get into it. But before we do that, let's see, what is your top three, you know, AI stack? So your top three, let's say top three favorite AI tools as I said they will.
My top three AI tools at the moment are ChatGPT is number one and Notebook LM is number two and then Perplexity is number three.
Interesting.
So, yes. What I say to people with AI, as you were saying yourself, there is so many AI tools out there and every app is adding AI to their app or platform. And even Airtable has in the recent 2 or 3 months added AI in. It's mind blowing. But what I usually say is pick three, pick your top three and go deep instead of going wide. So don't go and try and look at every single little AI tool that you find. Pick three main ones, go deep with those, and then you can always add to those once you've mastered or learned about your top three. And that's what I've done. I've gone deep into ChatGPT, deep into Perplexity, and then Notebook LM so that I can actually teach on those three AI tools. And then I've layered in other AI tools as I've gone along and as I've needed extra support.
That's just really interesting. I do use ChatGPT. I've tried out Notebook LM. I can't say I have 100% gotten the hang of it, but I have experimented with it majorly because I liked the sound of what it could do. So now that we're talking AI tools, so what you did was you created a custom GPT and then used AI to be able to simplify your email marketing, right? Especially in terms of writing the emails. But I want to know, what challenge were you facing that led you to build your own custom GPT?
Well, I'm an automation and system person. I suck at writing. I'm really not good at writing compelling emails, sales pages, messaging, social media. And so when the whole GPT thing came about, it was like, oh, I can train this on copywriting techniques and train it to write like I would, but more professional. And so that's what I did. I started out with the email, and because email writing is so important in our online business, any business actually. And so I trained this GPT on specifically subject writing, great subject lines, writing great email copy, the different types of email that you need to write as a business these days. And so this GPT now helps me write my email copy. It's not that it's right. I'm taking that GPT's copy and pasting it in and sending it, but it gives me a great starting point. And the copy is just so much better than when I was just using ChatGPT on its own and saying to it, well, write me an email on X, Y, and Z and giving it a prompt. It was giving me better output.
You mentioned the very key word. You said you trained this GPT. So before we talk about training, let's take a step back, right? So if somebody hears this and they are not familiar with what a custom GPT is, how would you explain it to the person? Like, what is a custom GPT?
A custom GPT is just simply a trained AI bot, for want of a better word. And so what is possible in ChatGPT is you're able to train the specific, what they call GPTs, and you can train them on any data you want. And so what I've done is I've gone in and trained for the different operational parts of a business. And one of them is email writing. So if you are bad at email writing, what would you go and do before AI? You would hire a copywriter or an email copywriter. So now what this has done is allowed me to train this GPT with those copywriting techniques. And so when you go in there, you don't have to give it a prompt. You don't have to like say anything. You can just tell it to write you an email. Whereas if you're going into ChatGPT and you say, write me an email, it's going to give you something, but not something very useful.
I see that. Okay, so if we're training the GPTs, right, we're getting them to write in our voice, our tone, our stories, right? Because a lot of times when people use AI, especially in writing, you know how people are like, oh, I can spot AI-generated content. Oh, I feel like this written and, you know, with AI. And then there's a point of, oh, maybe it's generic, or they feel like it's just giving the same old kind of vibe. So now with training this custom GPT, that means that it helps you, you know, it's coming out in your voice, your story, your tone. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes. So I actually use two GPTs for this. I use a custom trained GPT that is trained on my voice and my business. Everything about me, everything about my business, how I speak, how I think, and my personality. And then we have the email GPT, and I use them in conjunction with each other so that they can see. So the email GPT has got her email writing knowledge, and my custom GPT that's trained on my brand has got my custom knowledge. And I use them in conjunction with each other so that they have the knowledge of each other. So it's almost like you're having an email writer and the owner of the business in a room together. And the email writer's got all the knowledge of the business owner and then can write emails in that tone of voice and that brand.
You know, I'm just trying to visualize it, and it's like, oh, two small robots, that kind of thing. And one is like, and the other one is the business owner's brand, that kind of thing. But then I'm just wondering, like, you're bringing them into the same room. So it's like, a separate ChatGPT kind of space, just that particular GPT has already been fed data before you start using it, right? Yeah. So in part of building it, you're giving it data. So how do you get these two GPTs to then work in synchrony or in a single workspace?
So there is a way. So I do it in two ways, because this particular feature of ChatGPT can be slightly glitchy. So what I've got is I've got what I call a training document with all the knowledge about me and my business. And I've got a very specific framework on how to do that, how to get all that information together. And so I've got that in a doc. And so if ChatGPT is being a little bit glitchy, I'll pull in that document when I'm in the email writing GPT or whichever GPT I'm working with at the time. If Airtable isn't being glitchy, you can use the at symbol. So when you go into your conversation and you just type in the at symbol, all your GPTs that you have will pop up and you can bring one of them actually into your conversation. So you'll have your main GPT, which you start the conversation with, say your email GPT. My email GPT's name is Nora. And so I will have Nora and I'll start a conversation with her. And then I'll bring in my Jackie Money GPT into the conversation. So they all have the same knowledge. Both of them have the same knowledge. And then we can carry on the conversation. I don't get asked, like, what is your brand? Who are you? What do you do? What are your products? I don't need to answer any of those questions because they're already there.
Oh, now I'm loving how this is going. So before we look into how you can, you know, train your GPT, I'd like you to walk us through your, you know, AI-powered writing system. So if you wanted to write your emails today, how would you go about it as different from what you used to do before?
So before, it was a long, tedious process. I would write an email that I thought was good in a Google Doc. And then I'd go away and I'd come back. And it would take me like hours to write the email in the first place. And then I'd go away and I'd come back. And then I'd look at it again and I'd think, no, this is not good. Scrap this, scrap that. It was a very long process of writing. Like I said, I'm not a writer. I'm not trained in copywriting. So, you know, I just write. I usually used to write and then come back and go, oh no, this is terrible. Let me start again. With the GPT now, my writing process has been cut down to minutes compared to hours before. So I would say, like, say I'm writing emails. I'm going to actually be doing a workshop next month about Airtable's AI. And so I need to write a launch sequence for the workshop. And so I would go in, I would say to Nora, look, I'm writing a launch sequence. This is the workshop. My GPT already has the knowledge of the workshop. So I bring her in. And so I just say, please write me a launch sequence. And there she goes. She writes me a launch sequence. I'll read through the sequence. We will make some editing. But for the most part, she speaks in exactly my tone and my voice. It's exactly how I would have said it if I was more eloquent in my writing.
Oh, wow. That definitely saves a ton of time. And yeah. So I'm just wondering, if I wanted to train a custom GPT to be able to, you know my brand, know my tone, know my voice, how am I going about it? Because you mentioned like training documents and then just pulling in your Jackie Money GPT, then you have the email writing GPT.
Yeah. So the email specialists, the other specialists in the AI mentor team, they are trained in very specific methodologies. So for example, the email writer is trained in copywriting methodologies. And so those GPTs take me quite a long time to research and build. My own GPT takes a lot of time, but I would encourage your listeners to think about your brand. Is it a friendly brand? Are you friendly? Are you more on the serious side? What is your tone of voice? How do you like to speak? Are you more formal? Are you more friendly and relaxed or that kind of thing? I've got my offers in the GPT. So everything that I offer, my lead magnets, I've also given it very custom instructions. And so that I've got a GPT to build that out, the custom instructions and all of that. And then I do deep research into myself. I did deep research into myself. And so when I build out these custom GPTs, like the branded ones for clients, I do quite a bit of deep research. And that's where Gemini and Perplexity come in to play with though I love them for deep research over ChatGPT. I find their deep research is much more comprehensive than ChatGPT's deep research.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite a process. It's not just like, let's do this quickly.
No, it's definitely not like, oh, let's, because, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, I want to write it in an email. You're just going to ChatGPT and like, oh, write me an email about this. But this takes time because you actually have to screen the GPT, refine the GPT, and then you're able to use it. But the outcome is quite interesting because from what you said just now, it means that somebody cannot just do this for themselves, but they can also use it for like clients. So you're trying to improve your client processes, your client work, and it's like, okay, I'm building this custom GPT, I'm training it on this new brand, and then I am using it for this client's work. That means that when you're working on particular projects, it's better to use just that ChatGPT for the project. Ah, now I think This is interesting. So as regards the training doc that you used to brief the ChatGPT, what would you say are your top 5 must-haves or categories of things that should be in a training doc?
Your branding. So I'm not talking about, when I say brand, I'm not talking about colors and fonts and that kind of thing. I'm talking about the tone of your brand, the feel of your brand. I've done a couple of personality tests, you know, like the Colby and the different personality tests out there. And you can pop those into your GPT and it will then write from that personality. I found that very useful. Definitely your offers or services, your lead magnets. So how many did I just mention? 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I would say probably how you would like it to speak. So more the tone of your brand. So my brand is friendly, but informative. That's what my brand is. So, but you might get a brand where they are more on the formal side. Say maybe you're looking at, say, corporate or that kind of thing. You would need a more formal tone when you're addressing someone in an email. And so, I think your tone and your that kind of style of branding you need to put in there is very important.
Oh, I think that this is really, really interesting, right? Because I already see people thinking about how they can build custom GPTs in their head and how they can use it to make their email writing process simplified and easier. Now, you talked about prompts that, you know, you were using to write these emails. And I'm curious, what are some of your favorite prompts that you have given for your, you know, GPT in the past or that you've used to write emails that you really love?
So I use a framework with prompting where it's not just write me an email or write me an email about something or write me a welcome series or whatever. It is more, you got to give it a job. It's almost like you are giving, when you're prompting, you are giving ChatGPT or Claude or whatever you're using a job description. So it's like you're talking to a person and giving them a job description. So I would say context. So what are they doing? Okay. The role, who you are, what are you? You're an email writing expert. So if you are using prompts, and then go into what you expect to have in the email. This email will be a welcome series for whatever and your business, and tell the GPT a little bit more about your business and what you do, and then say, give me 3 subject lines, give me 3 pre-headers, the body of the email, use storytelling principles, and then the output, what output you want to have, how you would like it to be outputted. And so I've actually created a prompt pack especially for your listeners, an email prompt pack that they can use, no GPT required or anything like that, because these prompts are very specific and will give you the output that you need. And we've got a welcome sequence, a prompt for a welcome sequence, and then a couple of other prompts for other sequences as well. So I've put that together. And then you can see, if you get that email prompt pack, you'll see the exact formula of how I write out the prompts.
Wow. I have to thank you on behalf of all of us that are going to be listening to this podcast and trying it out, because now I can't wait to see what, you know, trying to simplify our email marketing process. The way you've navigated ChatGPT as different from just putting in something and getting something out, but actually taking out time to train, research, and build something that gives you custom. I guess that's why it's called like custom GPTs, but gives you something custom on brand and very specific. So what effects have you seen since using AI this way, or using, you know, building these custom GPTs? What are some of the benefits that you have seen?
Well, if looking at my email analytics, my open rates are between 41 and 46%. On my emails. And I think that's pretty good. I'm working now on getting my click-through rate up, and as well as after, like, the opt-in or the purchase rate after that. So I first started with the email open rate, because, I mean, if people are not opening your emails, then there's no point in working on the click rate or the buy rate or whatever. So I've got that up now, and so now my next step is working on that click-through rate. And it's when I'm looking at the analytics, it's going up, 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 up.
Wow. Wow. That's great. Congratulations. And have you noticed, would you say there are any limitations so far as you've tried out custom GPTs, GPTs for emailing and all of that?
Well, what I would say, I would highly recommend people don't just take copy and paste, basically, your email or any output from any automation like ChatGPT or, any AI. Because it could be wrong. It could be not what you wanted to say. So I would highly recommend you always read through the output and infuse your own little bits into it. That's what I do. I might change a sentence here and a sentence there. Sometimes it gives me the output and it didn't quite understand what I wanted from it. And so I just always say, don't just verbatim grab it and paste it and send it out, whether you're writing emails or social media content or blog posts or anything like that. Just always put your own eyes on it and make sure that it is actually what you wanted to say.
Oh, that's a very powerful one. And now I'm looking at things in terms of like ethics, right? Because we know that people have also come to you. Using it ethically, doing things that go against the grain. So what are your thoughts? Are there ethical concerns or risks with using AI for client-facing copy? So not just like your own brand copy now, but let's say you're writing an email for a client, you know, that kind of thing.
I don't write emails for clients or anything like that. I'm not an AI ethics expert, but what I will say is this. I would always disclose the usage of AI if you are using it for something that you're getting paid for. So if you're using it for client-facing work that you're actually getting paid for and writing email copy for a client, I would absolutely disclose that you are using AI. That would be the ethical thing to do.
I think that's interesting, because different people have different perspectives when it comes to AI. And so people actually get offended when you know, when it comes to AI, their projects, and I think it's a bit dicey depending on who you're talking to. But I like the approach that you've given us. So what is one piece of advice you would give creators, service providers who want to start using AI to narrow down to, you know, three platforms and learn them properly?
Yeah.
What's another one that you're going to give us?
I would say, you know, what I've seen a lot of out there is people are jumping onto the custom GPT bandwagon and building out custom GPTs, but they're not doing them properly. So either invest in something where you're buying a GPT. For example, if my AI mentor team is a membership and you get all my trained custom GPTs in that membership, or purchase standalone custom GPTs from somebody that you trust. If you don't know how to do it yourself, or you're not prepared to invest in learning how to do it properly, because a badly built custom GPT is just as useless as going in and badly prompting ChatGPT or Claude or any of the AI to help you with anything.
Okay. Now that you mentioned your AI mentor team, you have 9 mentors.
So far.
I think 2 of those mentors are guys. Okay, so far. So we're expecting more mentors.
Yes. So the membership is actually evolving and growing. The idea behind the membership was to create a team. So imagine you are a big company and you would have employees. You wouldn't have yourself doing everything. But us as solopreneurs, we have to do everything. We wear the email hat, we wear the copywriting hat, we wear the sales page design hat, we wear the finance hat, we wear all the different hats. And so I thought it would be great to build out a team of AI. So instead of hiring people, you're hiring a team of AI to do the things that those people would have done. So far, I've got Nora. She's the email girl. I love her. I've got Zara, who's the social media writer, and she writes all the social media copy. Sienna writes long-form copy like blog posts and sales pages and websites and that kind of thing. My favorite is Axel, my automation guy. He's so fun. And he helps with automation, very complex automations. He's highly trained in all the complicated AI automation platforms. And so you can go in and build really complicated automations if you want to with him. And he can help you troubleshoot and everything. So yeah, those are a couple of the members in the team. And so the membership is evolving into, I've put a form in there where people can actually request for me to build a mentor for the membership. And so I've had one lady that's requested specifically YouTube content and how to create specialized YouTube content. So I'm going to be building that one out. And there's been a couple of others. So it's been a fun journey. And then I'm going to be adding workshops into there as well. Like you were saying to me earlier, before we got on the call, not as proficient with Notebook LM. And so I've realized that people need more training on some of the platforms and just how to use them. And so I'm doing a Notebook LM workshop and I'm doing an Airtable AI workshop. And so those are all going into the membership as well. So it's not just the GPTs you're getting. It's evolving into a bigger membership.
That's so interesting. That's so interesting. I think that a mentorship team has a lot of personality from different angles. But I think that my favorite one from looking at it has to be Amaya, the marketing brain, because I'm just thinking messaging, brand alignment, content repurposing.
Yes. Yeah. She's fun. They're all fun. I wanted to make it fun and exciting and, you know, give people a little bit of a giggle when they look at them. So,
After that, I think I like Chloe that helps with, you know, building docs, drafts, responses. I think what really stood out is that you said client whisperer. And I feel like maybe from Client Whisperer, she can just help me do certain kinds of research because of the, you know, kind of conversations that she has had, you know, in the past. So I think that is quite an interesting and amazing team that you have built here. And it's wonderful to see. Now, before we wrap up, we usually have what we call open rates confession, where you share your biggest email marketing mistake, something that, you know, made you question yourself, made you cringe, made you cry maybe, or just left you completely fed up. So what is your biggest email marketing mistake?
I had one. It wasn't an email marketing mistake, but it involved email marketing. I set up a new GPT, and it is a lead magnet GPT. And I set it up, and I hooked up the email and everything. And I didn't set up the automation on the back end, so the person got the email, but then when they clicked on the link to take them to their GPT, the link wasn't active. And so I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I had to email a couple of people and say to them, I'm so sorry. I didn't put the link in correctly. Yes, the thing that you opted into. So, and thank goodness everybody was really sweet about it. And I caught it early enough. So that was pretty embarrassing.
Yes. Especially because you're supposed to be like a systems person.
Exactly. So my recommendation to your listeners are test again.
Very important. I mean, the name of this podcast is Email Marketing Experiment, because we believe you should think it, test it, and then share it. So there's that whole second part that has to do with you trying out new things, testing out what it is you have done, and all of those things. Now, I would love our listeners to be able to find you, connect with you, you know, and then just learn from you, especially because you have upcoming workshops and all of that. So how can we connect with you, listen to you, and just find you?
Well, you can go to my website. It's Jackie Money, and Jackie is spelled JACQUI money.com. So that's my website. And for your email prompt pack, it will be jackiemoney.com/email. And you can come and find me on Facebook or Instagram. My Instagram handle is just jackie.money.
Thank you. And I'll definitely be linking all of these links in the show notes just to make it easy for people to click and to find. So if you're looking for where to connect with Jackie, you can go ahead and click the show notes, check out the links, and you'll be able to get to her ASAP. And now I'm just thinking, I know that a lot of you might want to go build something, test it out, try it out. While you do, don't forget all the tips and tricks that Jackie has given us today. And while you're at it, head over to her website and check out the AI Mentor team. I think that you're going to find some of them that you love and that you need. And then finally, don't forget to tell her thank you for the free email prompt that she has kindly created for us. Okay? Jackie, any final words, anything that you want to leave us with before we wrap up?
I would say start playing with AI today if you haven't already. If you haven't started, you're already behind the rest of us that have. So make it a priority, set aside, I don't know, like an hour a week to just play around with the tools, see which ones you like, and then start learning. It's very important.
Very, very important. So you've heard that, do it. Until next time, this is still Email Marketing Experiment. Don't forget to think it, test it, and of course, share it. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast, Jackie. And thank you so much for sharing all about writing better emails with AI and custom GPTs with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
You're welcome. You're welcome.